The Meditation, October 18th, 1998. Our question today has to do with the changing seasons in our spiritual life. We all have desires as spiritual seekers to do a certain practice, to meditate more frequently, to live more peacefully, to be more aware of what we're doing. We have a lot of different desires we'd like to see fulfilled, but it takes us lots of effort, and occasionally a long time, to make our desires into the rituals of our life, into the pattern of our life. And after we go along for a while with a pattern, then it seems like it comes to a point where we need to make a change and a choice, and our further spiritual growth has to do with making new patterns. A part of us dies and a part's reborn. So there's old dying and new being born. And we'd like Kuo to talk to us about how these changing seasons come about. We obviously would like to work in harmony with them and to have a better understanding of how change actually happens in our life. Is it really due to our desires and to our efforts and to the past that comes before the change, or does the change come because it's time for it to come and it comes no matter what? Any thoughts you could have on the topic and share with us, we would appreciate it.
We are those of the principle known to you as a cool. And we greet you in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator. As always, we are most grateful that you have gathered in this circle of seeking, and that you have called us to your group. We are honored and blessed, and we bless each of you. And thank you for the privilege of being able to share our thoughts. We would ask that these thoughts, and indeed all thoughts that come before you, be subjected to your own powers of discrimination. For you truly shall feel the resonance of that truth which is your own, and those resources which will be helpful to you. If that resonance is not there, then we encourage you to move on. For that sometimes very subtle resonance of recognition is a key to wending your way through an incarnation lived in your present third density with this heavy illusion. Much that occurs is not what it seems. Indeed, that is the very nature of illusion. This day you ask us concerning changes, how to bend with the wind and turn to the sun, how to respond to those biddings and desires of the heart that are hopeful and delicate. The nature of the incarnational experience is change upon change upon change. And this you have seen again and again in your life already. there are many ways to look at these cycles that seem to influence the mind, the emotions, and so forth. There is the cycle of the edit that this instrument keeps watch over to see when the strong and the weak times are for working consciousness. There are the various rhythms known to this instrument as biorhythms, which are very helpful in giving information to the person who wishes to know more about herself. When it would be a good time to do this, when it would not be a good time, and so forth. There are the divisions of time that your culture has made, splitting the days into years and months and weeks, so that there is a definite feeling about each day, which is cultural rather than natural. Look at the work cycle, the Monday through Friday, that so many among your peoples simply assume as the work week, not thinking that before the days were named, they were all Sabbath days, one as holy as the next. The ways that change comes are sometimes natural and sometimes brought upon one by the culture in which one lives. The changes that are natural are the changes of an organism which is expressing a pattern. The natural run of energy from youth to maturity to the prime of life to the middle and older ages. These are natural. There is, in any culture, a variety of ways for a person to think of herself as she goes through youth and maturity and old age. And although each entity will predictably have difficulties accepting the natural changes, having to do with the physical vehicle and the energies of the physicality of the self, it is generally a relatively, as this instrument would say, doable thing to see where cooperation with nature will help. Perhaps in some entities who do not want to accept the passage of time, do not want to get old, do not want to look old, there are difficulties. But normally, it is not at this level that the difficulties which are upon the minds of those in the circle this day come from? The difficulties in changing that each of you is more aware of have to do rather with the process of desire and fulfillment that characterizes the life of, shall we say, the spiritual appetite. Once an entity has become aware of herself as a citizen of eternity, there is no longer the simple feeling of content with accomplishing the necessary chores of the day. The actuality of spirit works upon the seeking entity, encouraging the conceiving of desire to be ever more spiritually opening and transforming. It is difficult to talk about this process with those who are not themselves going through it. And once an entity has awakened to her spiritual identity, it seems as though a portion of the population were simply asleep. It is a situation which can be alienating, isolating, and even frightening. For as the spiritual self emerges, one becomes aware of the power of that energy that is within. One wishes to accommodate and encourage these stirrings of desire. And the appetite for transformation can become very keen. There is a kind of pressure that one can put upon oneself to do more, to be better, to seek harder, to meditate more, to contemplate more, to hew to a practice of life that the intellect can see as the appropriate and desirable way of life that a person wishes sincerely to follow. Never quite acknowledging the various promptings suggesting that perhaps it might be good to slow down, to take it easier, for the seeker intent upon the path, the process is experience as harmonious and positive, usually only when one sees oneself as conforming to those spiritual ambitions of more and better and deeper. And yet, interestingly enough, often this continuing desire and continuing pressure from the self to do more, do it better, go deeper, and so forth, it does not satisfy. That is, the person does not fulfill those ambitions, does not meditate more, does not go deeper. And thusly, the person is simply frustrated and irritated at the self for not conforming to those spiritual ambitions. This instrument has said several times that although it seems that spiritual evolution would be a process of addition, that it seems many times, in fact, a process of subtraction. And we would agree with this instrument in that often the bounty of deepened desire and that feeling of centeredness that spiritual ambition hopes for is contained not by adding activities or doing things better in some way that is measurable physically, but rather in moving fully into the present moment. And becoming able to take the bounty of that moment as it passes. For each moment is itself whole and perfect. When one is in the moment, one is not in time. When one becomes even a bit aware of the timeless aspect of the moment, there is an almost automatic resonance and a feeling of coming home. And this is accomplished not by adding more focus or adding more attention or finding better ways to meditate, but rather it is allowed by the seeker who relaxes into the magic of the timeless present moment. If you are within that present moment, you are in meditation. Aware of who you are. Aware of why you're here. Many other things go out the window. Where you are on planet Earth. What time of day it is. What you have to do in the world. This instrument can give you chapter and verse about being lost in the present moment. And yet this instrument does not give itself the credit it should have for the ability to get lost. For it is in that abandon, that relaxation into the utter present, that the amazing volume of spiritual information can come fully. We are not suggesting in any way that it is no longer a good idea to meditate or to ask yourself to meditate. We always encourage spiritual seekers to that activity, for it truly is a powerful, powerful tool. But a little meditation goes a long way. And it is possible that when the seeker does not find itself able to meditate regularly, that the seeker may need to ask herself, what it is that seems to be changing so quickly, that is actually stuck. For many times, the wisdom of the self pulls the self away from meditation because the organism instinctively is aware that it cannot handle more change right now. But that is what meditation actually offers, is an enhanced vulnerability to change. Perhaps for those who are having the difficulty with setting up daily meditation schedules, that would be one concern. What issues am I stuck on? Another question that the seeker may ask herself when it does not seem possible to get a good schedule going is, how am I not conforming to the needs of my bodily organism? This group earlier was speaking of the ways that and the culture gets us up and shoots us out into jobs and drops us off in the twilight to watch television until too late. And that this scheduling is not conducive to a natural way of life. This is certainly food we would recommend for your thought. How can you better treat the physical vehicle that carries you through the incarnation? Are there ways in which you could be kinder to the body that carries your consciousness about? Are there ways creatively to adjust when you do things and how you do the things that you need to do, so as to bring them more in line with a natural and flowing rhythm? For many, the only time that is truly theirs is that first block of time upon opening the eyes when one wakes up. And it is for this reason that many plan for meditation time the first thing in the morning. And indeed, that is a natural and deeply resonant time for spiritual work in terms of the energies of your physical body and the energies of your being as a totality. However, any point during the day that seems to be more appropriate is just as highly recommended by us. For the important thing is not to do it a certain way, but simply to have that point in the schedule at which there is a formal return to the center of the self. We encourage you to play with your schedule, to have fun with it, to vary the ways in which you meditate, to bend those stiff necks that say it should be done this way, and play the music of ragtime where anything goes in your head, and find new ways, new times, new practices. If you are unsatisfied on a continuing basis with those that you have now, I think more than anything else we could offer, we would simply offer the thought that most spiritual seekers have a tendency to become heavy with their seeking. And certainly, that which penetrates to the very heart of self is of weight, of gravity, of importance. And yet it also is dancing in the wind, light as a feather. So more than anything else, we do encourage the light touch. Before giving judgment of self. Not because you no longer care to do a good job of attempting to aid your own spiritual evolution, but because you trust yourself to be doing all that you can. We ask you each to be gentle with yourselves, for you have hungered and thirsted after the truth, and that truth has led you on a merry chase and continues to disappear into the mystery. All that you learn seems only to move you into another point at which all dissolves into mystery. To our knowledge, this is a continuing experience, one we share with you. But while you have the gift of time and space, while you have the illusion of sequence and accomplishment, we encourage you to treasure it, seek to honor it, but do so with a light heart and a conscience free of what this instrument would call the shoulda, woulda, couldas. Whatever it is that you felt to do this day, that is the right thing for you. Whatever you shall feel to do tomorrow, that shall be the right thing. And you will be inspired. You will become aware by and of those things that are there for you to see. And if you do not see one, another shall come soon. So while you are watching and learning and attempting always to seek along the path as best as you can, relax in the knowledge that there is an unseen hand guiding and taking care that nothing that you need is lost. If you miss one experience, you shall have an equivalent. That which you need will come to you. And beyond all the questions of when should I meditate or how long should I meditate, we encourage you always to focus on the present, on what is happening at this very moment, and on love. For beyond all telling, you are love. And you came to bear witness to that love. And you are here. And this is a very precious time for each of you. Lay your concerns down and relax into this present moment. See the earth grow small and disappear. See the solar system become nothing but stars. Move further and further into the infinity of creation. And yet you still are you. And this is still the present moment. And you are safe. Love reflected in love. They would speak further through the instrument known as Jim. We leave this instrument in love and light. We are those of cool.
I am Kwa, and we teach again, in love and in light, through this instrument. We would offer ourselves at this time to the speaking to further queries, if there are any, remaining upon the minds of those present. Is there a further query at this time?
Is there any difference in between meditating with a candle, with the eyes open and so forth, or meditating with the eyes shut?
I'm Kwa, and then where you're querying, my sister. The use of the candle is most helpful for those who are beginning the practice of focusing the concentration, with the hope of entering into a meditative state, during which time the experience is continually focused upon one concept, one thought, or simply the absence of thought or concept. The one-pointed mind is the desired product of the focusing upon the candle. As an entity becomes more familiar with the process of entraining the mind to focus in this unified manner, such devices as the candle or the mantra become less necessary. Thus, we would leave it to the entity to determine whether or not the use of a candle or other devices would be helpful in its meditative practice. As we mentioned before, to those who are less practiced, these aids are helpful. Is there a further query, my sister?
No, thank you.
I am calm, and we thank you once again, my sister. Is there another query at this time?
Well, here's another question. Say that you're having trouble getting yourself to meditate early in the morning, but later you're tired and you don't feel like you can meditate as well. Well, are there ways to meditate that you can do tired? Do you have any suggestions for the person that's trying to find a time other than the early morning but not having success at it?
I'm aware of your query, my sister. To the entity who must choose between meditating when it is tired or not meditating, we would recommend the meditation when tired. For the meditation then will become an avenue through which the needed sleep may be expressed. The travel to the state of sleep, however, will be helpful in that the entity will be engaging upon the practice of focusing its attention upon one point. There will eventually come for the entity the ability to remain awake and alert within the meditative state. That shall endure for as long as the entity wishes before it then desires to enter sleep. For those who wish to begin a practice of meditation, we recommend the use of any portion of the day which offers itself most beneficially for the regularity of the practice, even if only for a moment or two, as the entity finds a quiet, solitary moment, then it may engage in the focus of the mind for as long as time allows. Each effort spent in practicing meditation builds the momentum for the next, and so forth, until there is a regularization of behavior in this regard, that is, the establishing of the meditative practice. Is there a further query, my sister?
Is it possible that if you meditated and then went to sleep while you were meditating, that your dreams would be clearer?
I am, well, and am aware of your query, my sister. And indeed, it is possible, especially if the desire of the meditator is that such be so. The suggestion given to the subconscious mind within the meditative state is far stronger than the suggestion given in the conscious state. Thus, the entity may program, shall we say, the clarity and subject matter of the dream. Is there a further query, my sister?
No, thank you.
I am quiet. Again, we thank you, my sister. Is there another query at this time?
I have a question, Quo, about feeling various amounts of energy in my body at different points in the cycle we call month. I have noticed when there is a full moon, I don't seem to need much sleep. It's difficult to fall asleep, and yet in other times it is the opposite. And my question is if this is due to the be available at some points more than at others. Is that clear enough for question?
I am quote, and I'm again with this instrument. we believe that we grasped her query, my brother, and would respond by saying that indeed the mind-body-spirit complex and its emotional attachment is a series of energy patterns which move in a rhythmic fashion, as does all of the creation. As these patterns of energy blend and intertwine each with the other and with the rhythms of the planetary entity itself, there are those opportunities that are presented as energies harmonize one with another that will allow the entity to be able to express more of these energies and to feel the movement of these energies through its vehicle, the mind, the body, and the spirit, as well as the emotional aspect that responds to and energizes the entity in its movement in the daily round of activities. Thus, there are the biorhythms, as you have mentioned, that can be charted, and there are those subtler energies which are not currently able to be charted within your third density illusion, but which also add their influence to the energies which can be charted. Is there another query, my brother?
Not on this topic. Thank you for the answer. I have been thinking that of all the various questions I have asked over time, I always seem to be asking about how to do things, and I wonder why that is, if that means that I'm actually looking for asking how to be rather than do. Would you comment on that, please?
I am full. I'm aware of your query, my brother. The asking of an inspirational source as to the means of the doing is perhaps a paradox, as you have discovered within your own thinking. However, within the third density illusion, the means of existing are composed of a series of those things which are done within the outer illusion. As one begins to penetrate the nature of not only the third density illusion, but of one's own being and purpose within the illusion, there becomes a more finely honed focus upon how one may be. Yet, the transition to being is often made with the concept of how to do that which is necessary to be. This is a transition which is natural for each entity within the third density illusion, for there must be within the logical mind a bridge between doing and being. At some point, the seeker will discover that there is a greater self which is always able to be and which lovingly welcomes home the pilgrim which has done much upon its journey of seeking. And one of its greatest efforts is to return home within the own mind, so that there is the recognition of that which always has been and always will be by the one who does much and seeks its own being. Is there a further query, my brother?
No, thank you.
I am quiet. Again, we thank you, my brother. Is there another query at this time? I am one. And as it appears that we have, for the nonce, exhausted the queries for this session of working, we would again thank each present for inviting us to join you this day. We are always filled with joy at the opportunity of blending our vibrations with yours. And we walk with each the most closely and joyfully at this time. We shall take our leave of this instrument and this group, leaving each as always in the love and in the light of the one infinite Creator. We are known to you as those of Kwa. Adonai, my friends. Adonai.
Yolani, Sven, Dan, Ethel, Ruth, Judy, Ophelia, Fire Angel, Scott, Walter, the Dean family, the Kirkland family, the Flaherty family, the Cosmic, our beloved planet, at the request.
I'll put back.
Gabriel, Troy.
Troy and Bobby?
Healing me, you united.